A New Beginning, Part 12, The Beauty of Our Founder. We've been talking about the nature of our faith's founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do so because we can't be true followers of Jesus unless we walk in his ways. That, then, drives us to serious study of what the scriptures say of what Jesus said and did. We've considered his humility and his gentleness, his compassion, his empathy, and today we want to consider his beauty. Our Lord and Savior is absolutely lovely in all his ways, a loveliness well suited to song. So I thought it best to consider this aspect of our Founder's nature by reflecting on the classic hymn, How Lovely Shines the Morning Star. The author, a pastor named Philip Nicolai, labeled the hymn a spiritual bridal song for the believing soul concerning Jesus Christ, her heavenly bridegroom. It's based on Psalm 45. The morning star, in the very first line, is Jesus, according to Revelation 22:16. Nicolai wrote both the text and the tune in 1597, when the Black Death pandemic raged in his town, killing 1,400 people. We don't know the size of his town, but if it was like other towns during the plague, it was probably half the population that perished. He published a short hymnal in 1599, and in the preface, he stated why he wrote this song. He said, "To leave behind me, if God should call me from this world, as a token of my peaceful, joyful, Christian departure. Or, if God should spare me in health, to comfort other sufferers, whom he should also visit with the pestilence." So against the backdrop of the worst ugliness of this world, Nicolai knew there is beauty in heavenly places. In spite of all the world's sorrow, there is heavenly joy to be had. That beauty and that joy is in Jesus and our relationship with him. A relationship that can never be annulled, broken, or severed. So let's dive into this sea of bliss that is this song. So first, I will read it as poetry, and then go back and read it again and make comments along the way. It's in Old English, and it takes some translating to understand it. How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar the light in Judah shining. Thou, David's son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou, my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor, resting never till I rest in thee forever. Thou, mighty Father, in thy Son, didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever. And there's another verse that often doesn't make it into the hymnals, and it goes like this. O highest joy by mortals won, true Son of God and Mary's Son, thou high-born King of ages, thou art my heart's most beauteous flower, and thy blessed gospel-saving power my raptured soul engages. Thou mine, I thine. Sing, Hosanna, heavenly manna, tasting, eating, whilst thy love in songs repeating. So let's go back through it. How lovely shines the morning star, the nations see and hail afar, the light in Judah shining. Oh, we wouldn't call this an Advent hymn, though this part does point to the Advent, to the coming of Jesus. The morning star, bright and beautiful. The nations see and hail afar the light in Judah shining. Thou David's son of Jacob's race. Well, this speaks to the humanity of Jesus. Both his mother Mary and his adoptive father were descendants of King David. So legally, through his earthly father, Joseph, he is legally David's son. And through his mother, Mary, he is genetically David's son. David's son of Jacob's race. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, whose name God changed to Israel. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah to come from and for the Israelites, the Jewish people. But he is so much more than that. He's also, what it says next, my bridegroom and my King of grace. The church's betrothed, Jesus is to the church corporately and to each of his followers individually, like a husband to a wife. And he is a king, a great and mighty king. And that could be very bad news. All the authority in heaven and earth that he holds, both in time and eternity, oh, that could be a very scary thing, except for this. He's king, yes, but he is King of grace. And he has grace for us. Unmerited favor. Then it says, for thee my heart is pining, longing. He is so lovely that one who knows him can't help but long for his visits. Then it says, lowly, holy. Well, those are opposites. Lowly points to his humility. He is the one who describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. So he is lowly, but he's also holy. And when we think holy, we usually think pure, without sin. Well, that's true. But the word holy actually points even more to someone very, very special. Set apart is what holy means, as opposed to common. He is lowly, but he's also set apart, and he's great and glorious. Thou victorious Prince of Graces. Oh, not just King of Grace, but Prince of all different kinds of graces that can be. But more than this, he is filling all the heavenly places. Oh, Jesus is not only in all heavenly places, he fills them. In fact, it is Jesus that makes heaven heavenly. Then it says, and this is the verse that's not in our hymnal, but it's beautiful, so I'll read it. O highest joy by mortals won. O Jesus himself is the highest joy mortals can win, that they can grasp, can possess. If you want to possess the highest joy, well, then pursue Jesus. Then it says, true Son of God and Mary's Son, both God and man. Thou high-born King of ages. Oh, you can't get any higher than that, not in any age. Now, I love this part. Thou art my heart's most beauteous flower. Oh, what imagery that is. My heart's most beauteous flower. And I think I'll just leave that as it is. And thy blessed gospel's saving power my raptured soul engages. The saving power of the gospel engages our hearts and souls to the point of rapture, of being lifted from low places to the very skies. Then it says, thou mine, I thine. Sing Hosanna. Heavenly manna, tasting, eating, whilst thy love in songs repeating. Now back to verses that are better known. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart. Oh, there's a word, deign. It's an old word that harkens back to the days of kings and queens. For deign means for someone high to condescend to give something to someone low, like a king would condescend to give a gift to a peasant. O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. Oh, can there be a better grace than the grace of undying love? And then it says, in thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branch is in the tree. E'en, an abbreviation of even. E'en as the branch is in the tree. Thy life, my life supplying. Jesus has life in himself, but he doesn't just keep it there. He imparts life to us. Sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor, resting never till I rest in thee forever. Well, it doesn't mean that we have no rest until then. There is a rest in him that we can enjoy any day, any time. He said, come to me and you will find rest for your souls. What it does mean is that we never rest from pursuing him. We will pursue the savor of his favor as long as we live. But there will come a day when we shall rest in him eternally. We need not pursue him, for we shall see him face to face. But till then, we have to be pursuing him vigorously, sighing after him, crying after him for the savor of his favor. As it is written in the scriptures, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then the focus goes to God the Father for a bit. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere or before thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. So it's not just the Son's love we enjoy, but his Father's love as well. There's a saying, when you were just a twinkle in your Father's eye. We were a twinkle in our Heavenly Father's eye before he even started his creation. Just a twinkle, yet he knew us and loved us. Then this, thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. We don't see him in the flesh, but we see him by faith. When we contemplate him, when we sing to him, pray to him, and whenever we catch a glimpse of him, we can't help feeling joy even in tribulation. And finally, what bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever. And this reminds us of John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining. Thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my King of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.